Welcome to the Broadway Radio Show. I'm Donald Feltham, and I am very excited because we have a very special guest with us this week. Hi, Chelina Kennedy.
Hi, so nice to be here. Thanks.
Chelina's here to talk about the show Wild About You, which she wrote the music and lyrics for, and the book is by Eric Holmes. We'll give Eric some credit here. Chelina is currently starring in The Great Gatsby, which we're going to talk a little bit about, but she's starring as Myrtle in The Great Gatsby on Broadway. And prior to that, if you're familiar with Chelina at all, you may know her from her Broadway credits. She was in the 2012 revival of Jesus Christ Superstar and Paradise Square. Probably you may have seen her in Beautiful, the Carole King musical. She was the longest running Carole King on Broadway with like over 1,200 performances. When I read that, I was shocked. I didn't realize you had played Carole King that long. I knew you were in it for a long time, but wow, 1,200 plus performances is quite a few. You may have also seen her touring North America in The Band's Visit as Dina, which is amazing. I love the show, and the role of Dina, of course, is one of the best roles you can play.
Oh, it's phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. And also, I saw you, the first time I saw you on stage was when I saw Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder at the Old Globe in San Diego. That's where I became familiar with you. Yes, you were originated the role of Phoebe in Gentleman's Guide. And that's where I saw you the first time. I looked in the program and said, who is this Chelina Kennedy? Love the show and loved your performance. And this year has been especially busy for you because you did A Sign of the Times off Broadway. And then you have stepped into The Great Gatsby right now. And that's kind of an unusual situation. You stepped in for Sarah Chase, who had to take a leave in July to finish her chemotherapy treatments because she's been dealing with cancer. Mm-hmm. So talk a little bit about that, because you're stepping into a show that is relatively newly opened. It just opened this past season and still has pretty much almost virtually its entire original cast, and you're stepping into one of the leading roles, which is kind of, like I said, it's unusual circumstances. And you're kind of the newcomer slipping into one of the major roles. What was that like?
Well, it's a very delicate and sensitive situation, you know, because Sarah's not, you know, she's obviously coming back, and we're all thrilled that she's coming back and that she's made a recovery and that she's coming back on the 22nd. I don't know that I've ever come into such a warm and inviting company. They've been incredibly supportive. They love Sarah. They also love me. They've been very, very, very welcoming. And the creative team, actually, ironically, I know the creative team very, very well.
I was going to say, you got Paradise Square people. You've got people from Beautiful.
Right. Yeah.
I noticed that. Yeah.
And Daniel Edmonds, who is the musical director and supervisor on the show, is also my arranger for Wild About You. And he's the MD for Wild About You. And he's also my other writing partner for another project that I'm working on. So we know each other very, very well. And Mark Bruni, I think, as you probably know, was the director of Beautiful, and is also the director of this play that I'm in currently in development called Billie Jean, and I'm playing Billie Jean King in that.
We all work,
you know, very closely together.
and your Nick Carraway in the show is Noah J. Ricketts, who's on the Wild About You album.
Absolutely. And he's phenomenal. And so, you know, and as you get go, I mean, I'm sure you feel this way too in, you know, in the business, in any business, really, the longer you are in the business, the more people you know and you work with, and you just get closer and closer to the people, and, you know, you just keep working together and you become like this big family. So it's really wonderful. They've been just lovely.
Right. And that's really what it's all about. It's the same way as when an understudy goes on for the first time. Everybody wants them to do a fantastic job because it's really all about putting on the best show possible for the audience. And
it makes everybody better, right?
Like
it doesn't serve anybody for somebody to not feel supported or to not do their best. I mean, actually, and this cast is a particularly wonderful thing that I'll just say because it's so unusual, is that we all do this like circle kind of check-in with each other before the show, and we kind of hold hands and we take a breath and we do this mantra. But every time there's a brand new person going on who hasn't been on before, they step into the center of the circle and we all put our hands on them and we tell them that they've got everything they need and that we're all there for them. And it's incredibly moving, you know, if I'm being honest, because nobody has to do this. This is not part of the job. It's not, nowhere is it required for us to do that. But people are extremely generous, I think, when given the right circumstances.
Right. And it's an interesting cast because it's a relatively young cast, but it's a young cast, but even though the cast is relatively young, there's also, it's also filled with a lot of veterans. They're young veterans. I mean, they're younger cast, but they've all, many of them have done quite a few shows. They're very experienced, which is really nice. And the show, and the show is going like crazy strong. I mean, it's so funny. It's a show that has kind of defied the odds. It's sort of like, it's like the box office for the show, I think, really has surprised people because it's really found an audience and is just going like crazy.
And a young audience, like, they go crazy on TikTok, on social media, like all the dances, you know, New Money, that's, you know, and Jeremy Jordan's Today's the Day, that's become, you know, that went viral. It's exciting to see people getting, and also getting so excited about it. Such a wonderful novel. I mean, people bring their, you know, their Gatsby novels to the stage door to have us sign them because everybody reads it in high school. And I just love that this wonderful piece of literature is also finding, you know, a new enthusiasm through the musical, which is wonderful.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure you would be sad. You're going to be sad to leave the show, but happy that Sarah's coming back on the 22nd, I think you said. So that's really great.
I'm wild about you. I'm wild about you. I'm wild about you. I've always known that I was wild about you. You're coming loose and here we are. You can play me like I'm your guitar. You saw the thing under the bed. Now get the bugs out of your head. And when you're feeling brave enough, you'll cut him loose when things get rough. Then he's gone.
So let's move on to Wild About You. Talk about where this actually came from. I think I read somewhere it started as a song cycle. Is that correct?
Yeah. So I wrote I've been writing music for a long time, and I decided to do an album of all new music, you know, and it was songs that I've been working on for a long time. And Rick Fox, who was our musical director for Jesus Christ Superstar at the time, you know, I was so shy about my music. You know, I've been around incredibly, you know, incredible musicians, world-class musicians for most of my life. And, you know, and it can be a little bit daunting sometimes to go, oh, I do this too. And I write music and I play. And when you're surrounded by such geniuses, and Rick Fox is one of those geniuses. And I played him some of my songs and he's like, these are really good. You know, you shouldn't be so timid about it. I think we should do a concert and we should do an album together. And he produced my album, and he really sort of gave me the push that I needed to kind of get this front and center. And then I run a theater company in Canada, and the artistic director and the executive director at the time, they called me up one day and they said, you know, we think that you should turn your songs into a song cycle. And I was like, terrible idea, move on. They're like, no. And they convinced me to try to piece together a storyline. And so from that, I sort of put together this very loose narrative of and investigated, you know, what motherhood meant to me and what, you know, it was sort of like a story about identity and about great love. And I was working with the resident director of Beautiful at the time, Mark Schneider. And he said, you know, I have a really good friend named Eric Holmes. He's one of the writers on The Good Fight and Smash. And I think he should listen to your music and maybe he could be a good book writer for you. And I said, oh my God, why would somebody like Eric want to work with me? Like, I'm, you know, yeah, he's got his choice of, you know, whoever he wants to write with. And anyway, he took one listen to the album and he was like, I love it. I know exactly what this is supposed to be. He read what I wrote, you know, and sort of the synopsis. And he was like, I got it. And he wrote he just happened to have a week off from the writer's room. And he wrote the book in 24 hours. And I remember sitting on my parents' couch and I read what he sent me. I'd never even met him before. Mm-hmm. And I read the script and I bawled my eyes out. I thought, how can this stranger who's never met me understand what I'm trying to do and understand this music so well? And from then, you know, then we basically had a musical. And from then it's evolved into a 2-act musical. And I've rewritten, you know, all of the songs from the album to fit the music, or the songs that made it from the album into the music, into the musical. But about half of the score is brand new. So since we started working on it, I've cut songs, I've, you know, rewritten a ton of stuff. And there are a whole bunch of brand new songs that I'm very excited about that have been obviously written for the show specifically. And so that's where we are.
Change your
Give the listeners sort of a synopsis, a brief description of what the synopsis is, what the show's about, and who the characters are, without giving too much away.
Yeah, and it's hard to kind of give a synopsis without giving too much away, but basically it's about a woman who is searching through the last 20 years worth of memories to figure out what her life is and who the greatest love of her life is. And she ends up sort of moving heaven and earth to reconnect with the greatest love of her life, which is her son. So we think it's all of this, you know, all these people, we think it's A, B, or C, but it's actually her child, her son, Billy. And it really is a love story between a mother and a son. And meanwhile, we get to kind of go on this great adventure with her through her memories and through these very spicy situations.
How was your working process with Eric? I mean, obviously you said you rewrote many of the songs. So I'm assuming that it helped, his work helped you to kind of peel back layers of the different characters, right?
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, actually Eric and I never even met in person for the first chunk of our writing relationship.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we would just call each other, we would email each other, we would FaceTime, and we would just bounce ideas back and forth. And we have this great way of working where, you know, he'll send a script, I'll go through it and I'll make a bunch of notes and highlight a bunch of stuff and send it back. And we'll get on the phone and he'll be like, oh, I love this, I love that, I'm not sure that this works. He'll send it back again with a bunch of rewrites and a bunch of notes. And we just kind of keep pinging back and forth. And the wonderful thing about, I think, the way that we work, and I'll include Daniel in this as well, because Daniel and Eric and I are writing another project together. And Daniel's our MD and did all of the wonderful arrangements for Wild About You. And so he's very much invested in the sound of the show and is responsible for sort of taking the music and elevating it to a level that I only hoped for. But he, you know, we always say to each other, the best idea in the room wins. It doesn't matter whose it is. And we try to keep our egos at the door. And if something that I've written is not up to snuff, or, you know, it doesn't make sense, or I could do better, I expect my colleagues and my writing partners to say, go back to the drawing board. Mm-hmm. Or this song doesn't work, or let's find something better, let's find something stronger. And I'll say to Eric, like, I don't know that this is the best way to say this. I think that there's a stronger way we can get into this part of the narrative. And we figure it out together. And we're really, you know, we're gentle with each other and we're compassionate, but we're also very strong-willed, you know, about, we'll debate things. And that's what I love about it. I call him my work husband. He calls me his work wife. And we just, you know, we have a great relationship and we're very honest with each other. And it's fabulous. I love our working relationship. And we've ended up being great friends too, which I think is inevitable. Because when you work so closely together and you're so vulnerable, and writing is one of the most vulnerable things you can do,
right?
You get to know each other in a very deep way.
Yeah, and the working relationship between songwriters and librettists is can be very difficult, but friendships are inevitable, I think, because it's a very, you really have to expose. I have written librettos for shows before, so. It's you expose yourself and you're very vulnerable with each other because you have to accept criticism and be open to being told this isn't going to work, that's not going to work, you have to rewrite, you have to, and you also have to be willing to give up things.
Oh my gosh, that is the
That's the hardest thing, part, right?
It's
right.
Like you write these and you spend years writing these songs and somebody goes, not cut
or,
it.
or as a librettist, you know, you work on, because I've worked in both situations where I will write the script first, or I'll write the libretto first, and then I will have to watch very emotional, very difficult scenes that I've worked out be then turned into a song, where all of the dialogue I wrote is now being turned into lyrics to fit into a song. So all that dialogue that I worked so hard on is gone. And it's now being...
You understand. Yeah, I mean,
right.
My God.
And from a songwriter's perspective, sometimes that happens also, where the song you've written has now been, well, we don't really... it isn't going to work as a song, but we can shift it into some dialogue and take care of the exact same thing. And it's a give and take. You lose your... You know, you work really hard on something and then it gets cut. And it gets...
Yes.
Or it gets reconfigured somehow. And you have to be willing to do it, because ultimately it's all for the good of the end product, which is the show. And it's hard.
And I will say, you know, to Eric's credit, he is great at it. And I think we both have gotten very, very good over the years at just being able to release our material. And as soon as he says, you know, I think we should cut this, I go, okay. And I have a moment of,
right.
Well, you know, eventually like they go away, but they don't go away forever. I mean, it might reappear in some other form, or it might go on a different album, or it might go on a, like, who knows? You know, these things are dead. They're just not alive in this particular vision. Actually, we have this one song called it's actually on it's on the album called Here, and it has made its way into every single draft of the show and been cut in every single draft of the show until now. And it was funny because there was always a big joke when I would go, maybe there's a moment for Here to come back, and they would say, no, get rid of it, we don't want Here. It's never coming back. And then finally it did make it back, and we laughed about it.
You always have to remember that every single great legendary songwriting team has those songs. Rodgers and Hammerstein had the songs. You can trace it back. They all have had those songs they've put them in every single show, and they've been cut from every single show.
And I think it's so ironic that in ours, Here is the one that ends up on the album, and Lea Salonga sang it. And I thought, who would have thought that she would be singing the one song that was the cockroach of the show that no one ever thought would actually make it in there. But there you go.
Never thought it would be this way. Cats in the cradle and my rage at bay. My heart is tight, but I'm almost home. You need to know that you're not alone. Song before I knew you, had the dream before it came true. Now it's raining, you can't get dry, and I'm here to tell you I don't know surfaces dried and stained. You broke a hole in your life again. But my faith is back and the dust is gone. It's never too late and life is lost.
The deluxe edition of the album, I should get the sales pitch out here, is going to be available on digital and streaming on September 27th. So it's coming up this coming Friday. And so people can get it. I urge people to buy the digital download because that's the way these people make money. You can go and listen to it. You can sample it on streaming, on any streaming service you like, but that's only pennies when it comes to actually giving money to these people who work so hard on these projects. Digital downloads are not that expensive, so purchase a digital download. So let's get that out of the way. So when people hear the album, is this the original album that you had recorded, or is this some of the this is a newer recording featuring songs that have been rewritten for the show? Is that correct?
So there's What You Find in a Bottle, which was my solo album from years ago,
right?
A long time ago. And okay. Some of those songs got rewritten and put into the new show, which is Wild About You.
Okay, so that's what this
Wild About You is the concept album. And now the new deluxe version is that album plus two additional new songs.
Great, got it. Okay, yes. Perfect. So talk about the challenges. This is one of the things that's interesting about this project and I think so in some ways challenging and difficult is that it's an original musical. It's not based on any existing intellectual property, which, you know, is, as we know, when you look at every Broadway season, finding an original musical based on an original idea that's not based on a movie or a book or something is hard. And getting things like this produced can be a little challenging. So talk about the plan of moving this project forward, because you've got a concept album, you did a concert in London, which we're going to talk a little bit in detail, which was terrific. You did a concert in London at the Drury Lane, the Royal Drury Lane Theater. And then you've got readings coming up in the fall. So talk about how you laid out your plan for getting this moving along, or did you have a plan? It was just sort of like, as things came along, you just moved.
Well, it was a little bit of both, but I have to give a lot of credit to Brian Spector, our lead producer, and he's had a great vision for the show from the very beginning. I mean, he's been incredibly supportive. And like you said, it's very difficult to get any show produced, you know, even if it is based on something famous like The Great Gatsby or The Notebook or, you know, whatever it ends up being. And especially for somebody, you know, and I'm pretty new to people in terms of a composer, even though I've been doing it for a long time, people have not, you know, I'm sort of, this is my initial kind of introduction into this part of the business. And so it's, you know, the fact that anyone believes in you is just, it's incredible. And Brian was that person who really did believe in the project and believed in Eric and I, and gave us a shot. And also I have to say, all of those big stars, you know, who agreed to come on board and sing the songs on the concept album, like, we owe a lot to them as well. The fact that you know, Eric McCormack came on board, and Alex Newell and Jesse Mueller and all of these award-winning people, Catherine McPhee, they really showed tremendous faith in the material. And so I'm very grateful to them. And also the fact that we were able to, you know, I think it was a really smart idea, I believe, to get a concept album out first, because nobody knows the show and nobody knows the music. And I think a great way of getting people to be a fan of the show is to give them music to listen to. And then the concerts in London were sold out, and we had, again, you know, tremendous people involved in the show on every level. You know, we had just an absolutely incredible band and design, and you know, Eric McCormack was in that again, and Rachel Tucker, and these wonderful people. And then for the two deluxe tracks, Eric McCormack came back to do a duet with Ashley Loren, which is amazing. And then Troy Iwata is singing the other track on it. So again, we just keep getting these wonderful responses from people who want to be involved. So we just brought on board our wonderful new director, Lillianne Brown, who I'm very excited about. We're going to have 2 weeks to play around in the sandbox with her for a workshop. And then really the plan is to go into a production after that. And then obviously, you know, Broadway is the goal. And Brian, our lead producer, has won 2 Tony Awards already, and he's just got an incredible list of shows that he's involved with. And the fact that he believes in us at all and is willing to sort of champion the show forward is a dream come true. I mean, it's just so rare that anybody is given a chance. And so I'm extremely grateful.
Right. And I was going to point out the decision, because there's always a tricky decision when you're doing a concept recording of you can either do the concept recording like it's a studio cast recording, where you assign singers to specific roles, and you basically record it like it's a cast recording where you have a specific singer singing specific roles, or you can do it like you did it, which is each song is sung by different singers. You know what I mean? In other words, nobody's playing a specific part. They're just singing the songs, and you made the decision, or your team made the decision, that you were going to have different singers just singing the different songs rather than singing them as the characters. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. Well, there was a reason for that too. And I think because the show is still very much in flux and in development, and we didn't want to feel tied down to a cast. I mean, there will come a time when we want to do a cast recording, but right now we just wanted to celebrate the music and where the music was at the time, and get people excited about the show.
And that's exactly and sometimes that's the smart thing to do, because by having a wide variety of singers on the recording, it gets a lot of attention. Because I mean, just rattle off the names of the singers on this recording. I mean, you've got all sorts of Tony winners and Tony nominees.
Yes,
and it's just tell the listeners who's on the album. It's a fantastic lineup.
Yes, I mean, there's a whole bunch of them. So there's Kat McPhee, there's Jesse Mueller, Joaquina Calocango, who won the Tony for Paradise Square, of course, as people will remember. Jen Colella, Noah Ricketts, Eric McCormack. My gosh, I'm going to forget people as we're going.
Well, you have to name everybody. Salonga. Leah Salonga. Yeah.
There's just, Jay McKenzie. Like, there's so many wonderful, wonderful people.
Right.
Kennedy Coggle. And if people just sort of Google the album, they'll see, you know, or if they download it, they'll see all of these incredible artists. Paul Nolan, a fellow Canadian. Jackie Burns. We really have a long list of incredible people. Aisha Jackson is one of my favorite singers of all time.
Yeah, she's amazing. She's amazing on the album.
I know, right? And this is the thing, is that you can just focus. You can take the time to focus on the music and on the performances of these wonderful people that you get. And you don't have to sort of adhere to any particular rules. You can just kind of be free with it.
I don't know what we're all about when you breathe.
you make me nervous. I have to doubt. It takes a lot. We fake a lot. I break a lot. I wouldn't call it love. Love. I didn't ask for love. Love. It's late tonight, and here we
there are times where people will go in and do a studio, like I said, a studio cast recording, and it's difficult because things can change so much before you actually end up getting to a formal cast recording that it sometimes doesn't make sense. And if you really just want to highlight the songs, you want to bring attention to the music, and getting a lineup of performers like this really brings attention to the music. And the publicity around having a lineup of performers like this brings a lot of attention to the album. So congrats, because I can imagine the logistics of getting all these different people into recording studios.
It was crazy. We were recording, you know, everywhere from on Zoom, from Atlanta to California. Like, it was in Canada. Like, it was bananas trying to get people in. But we did it, you know, and right. Kudos to Daniel Edmonds also for kind of moving mountains to make that happen.
Right.
He was great. And also our musicians, like Chris Jago, is our drummer, you know, and he was Neil Diamond's drummer for a while. And, you know, Meg Tui worked with Sarah Bareilles for a long time. So we have these incredible people who are coming on board and just willing to make this work and writing these incredible arrangements. So we're very, very lucky. Our band is phenomenal.
And how did the UK concert come about? Because I was when I read that when it happened, I was a little surprised that it popped up over in the UK.
Well, you know, we were talking about we're tossing around a ton of ideas. We want to do a concert to celebrate the music and to get, you know, just to get the story and the music out there before we continue development. And we were looking at Carnegie Hall, and I was excited about that. And then Brian, our producer, was like, you know what? Have we thought about doing it over in the UK? And I was like, oh, I didn't even cross my mind. And he went and did some research, and he was like, no, this is a really good idea. And I think that we can do something really quite exciting over there if we do it right. And he certainly, we did it right. I mean, my gosh, that theater, it was unbelievable. And we sold out both nights, and we had design. I mean, I thought it was going to be people at music stands. They were off book. There was blocking. We got, you know, Nick Winston was our director for that. He was incredible. We had an unbelievable lighting design and costumes, the set, like set designer. It was like a fully staged two-night, you know, showcase. It was wonderful.
Yeah. I've been telling actually a lot of people that, you know, in the last 10 years or so, London has really become a very fertile place for developing new shows. And they've been much more open to getting new musicals off the ground over there. And a lot, I've noticed a lot of people, especially people from the US, have been going over and dipping their toes in the theater scene over there to getting. Yep. So it kind of, after I saw it, I sort of like, it kind of makes sense to get your footprint over there, because the UK theater scene is very vibrant these days.
It really is. They're so enthusiastic about new pieces, and
they really are
very gung-ho to make it work. And yeah, it was incredible. And in fact, Sir Andrew Lloyd Webber popped in during a rehearsal at one point, and I was like, what is happening? How are we here doing this? And he's watching like, sorry, I'm falling over. It was an incredible experience.
So how are you managing the juggling? I mean, you're juggling a performing career, mm-hmm. and juggling the show, because I mean, you're very heavily involved in Wild About You, and you're also, like I said, it's been a busy year for you. I mean, you've been performing off Broadway and now on Broadway. How is it going?
Well, I mean, honestly, it's the dream. I mean, I wake up every day and I feel incredibly grateful. Like, this is what I've always wanted. I mean, if you told me at 16 years old that I would be here now in my life, I wouldn't believe it. So it is busy, but it's busy in a great way. Like, I also have a son. He's going to be 10 in a couple of days, and he was with me for most of the summer. And, you know, he loves Gatsby. He would come backstage with me. He would listen. He's seen the show a million times. You know, we had a wonderful time. And so I think that it is possible to balance your life with a busy career. I think if you work smart and not work hard. What is the expression? Is that the expression? I'm terrible with expressions. Work smart, not hard, or something.
Right.
I mean, obviously, it's a lot of hard work as well. So I don't want to say it like it's not hard work. It is a lot of hard work. But I think,
right.
You know, well, it's always when you ask busy people to do things too. I mean, what's that expression too? You always ask a busy person to take something on because you know it'll get done. Like, right. I feel like all of the people who are working on these projects, I mean, they all have a million things on the go, and everybody always crosses the finish line and gets it done, which is always surprising and impressive to me.
Yeah. You said that I know you have the workshop coming up and industry presentations. Nervous, excited?
I'm excited. I feel like, I mean, yes, obviously I'm nervous
it's
as well.
Getting it up on its feet and in front of people is always nerve-wracking. But it's also very satisfying because you're really getting it in front of people.
Well, and you know this because you know, you have experience.
I've done readings
as well.
I've done readings in New York. Yeah.
And we're doing a concert as well on the 6th, you know, which is also exciting. But I think after the UK, I don't think anything, like, I was probably more nervous than I've ever been in my entire life, those two nights in London, just because the stakes were so high. Mm-hmm. I couldn't believe how many people were there. And this was, you know, kind of make or break, it felt like. And it was a huge testing ground for us to see how the material played in front of people. We'd never heard it in front of that, you know, a crowd like that before.
And were you doing any of the book in London or just the songs?
We did all of it. We did the whole show.
Oh, wow. Oh, okay. I didn't realize that. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like the whole musical, pretty much fully staged. So that felt really, really, nerve-wracking. So I think that this is going to feel much less stressful. Yeah. And also we're in great hands. I mean, again, like Daniel is an incredible musician and a wonderful MD, and Lillianne Brown is a very, very strong, director with tons of great ideas. So I do not feel nervous at all in their hands. I think they're going to lead our ship beautifully. And Brian Spector is obviously a great producer. And so I don't have any fear. I think I'll just have jitters on the day.
That's good. And so what is, do you have anything on, I know you said you're working on the Billie Jean King play,
yes.
Which you did that in San Diego too, didn't you?
I did it. We did it at La Jolla last summer. Yeah, last summer.
Right. I think I remember seeing pictures of that. Is there a future for that as well?
There is a bright future for that. Yes. There's a new script now by Lauren Gunderson. And we're doing a reading of that actually on Monday, and then a workshop of it in October, and then another workshop in November, and then off to an out of town. Is cool. The plan. And we've got another fabulous producer, Harriet Leave, and she's been just a huge champion of the piece, and Billie Jean King and her wife Alana have been heavily involved, and it's a fantastic story, and it's a story that needs to be told. Billie Jean King is like Carole King, she's an icon, and she's done so much for women and for the LGBTQ plus community and for, you know, sports and equal pay. I mean, I just think that the world needs to know about her contribution.
I know, I'm surprised that there hasn't been something sooner. When I saw that the play was happening last summer, I was actually shocked that there hadn't been something previously, because she's been so culturally and historically so important in so many different areas, as you mentioned. So I was kind of thrilled that it was happening, long overdue, I think.
Absolutely.
Congratulations for that, because
thank you.
I think that's fantastic.
I also think it's funny that I always seem to now play people whose last names are King or
Oh, I didn't realize that. You're right.
Yeah.
My God, what is that?
I don't know.
Oh, that's
too
funny.
And with Mark Bruni too, because Mark Bruni's also the director, and he directed.
Oh, is he? Oh,
yeah.
Oh my God. Okay. So anyway, all the best with your few remaining performances of Gatsby.
Thank you so much.
I wish you all the best for that. All the best with the rest of Wild About You. Where can people follow you online? Where would you like people to follow you online?
Absolutely. Instagram at Shalina Kennedy. And I just joined TikTok for the very first time. I do not know what I'm doing, but we're hope for the best.
And is there a website for the show?
Yes, wildaboutyou.com. So yes.
Okay.
Also on Instagram, wildaboutyou on Instagram.
I will include the website on the radio show page. And can people purchase a download from the website?
Yes. I'm sure that you can get that on the website. Yes.
Yes.
And just confirm that with Dan.
I will. Yes. I'll make sure the publicist gives me the right link so people can purchase the download, because we want the download to be purchased. Not just streamed, purchased.
Yes.
So anyway, congratulations on the album. It's terrific.
Thank you so much.
Hopefully we will see Wild About You on Broadway soon enough. How big is the cast ultimately? Just curious.
It's only 6 people. It's very small.
There you go. Yeah. It's very economically attractive.
Yes, Broadway it is.
It's for Broadway. It's very economically attractive. I wonder if my friend, I have a producer friend who is always looking. I'm always pushing stuff his way. He's got multiple Tony Awards too, and he's always looking for things to get involved in. So I wonder if I should, I wonder if he's looked, I wonder if he's been pulled into this one. I should look.
Oh, well, if he's interested,
I will. Yeah, I definitely will. He's, I know he's got some revivals he's into this season already. So, but he's always looking for some original stuff to get, to pull some of his investors into. So right. I will definitely, or future projects. So we can talk off mic. Anyway, thank you so much for coming on, Shalina. It's been a pleasure to chat with you.
Thank you for having me. Yes, it was lovely to chat with you.
And hopefully you'll be back sometime very soon.
Yes. Thanks very much.
You woke up tired from a dream, forgetting where you've been. Friday night together, starting to kick in. Smell of whiskey on your skin, sunlight pouring in. Think of what we did last night. Memories fading in. I'm walking slow toward you, staring at the ground. Trying to hide inside my head, but wanting to be found. Tell you what I'm thinking, let you get inside. I love the way you look at me when you find that it gets me high. It gets me high. It gets me late, just us here, nothing else I'd rather do than forget all time and space and lose myself with you. You turn to me, we're all alone, nobody can see. Take me on your secret ride, only you and me. 'Cause you get me high. Get me high. You get me high. High. The things I feel inside me are moving like the breeze. Colors fade, rearrange, and all will cease to be. What gets me up brings me down, and I am torn apart. But I know I've always loved you, always right from the start,
right from the start.
So long we've been together, I sometimes start to fade. But I'm always sure of knowing summer comes again. She'll touch me with her memory, show me where to go. Tell you very sweetly, so you'll always know.
You'll always know
that you get me
high. You get me high. You get me high. Get me high. You get me high.